You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm Jeffrey Callison. You can download previous editions of Insight, find our archives at capradio.org/insight. A local public radio institution turns the big 3-0 next week. Nevada City station KVMR went on the air July 14th, 1978. Most of the 30th anniversary celebrations will happen this weekend. If you haven't heard KVMR, it's more of a community-style public radio station rather than the NPR style of, for example, The Station. Most of the people you hear on KVMR are volunteers, and the format is eclectic, so you can pretty much hear everything under the sun if you listen long enough. We're going to talk with KVMR personalities past and present, along with managers past and present. We'll start with the person who spoke the first words on air on KVMR. He's Jim Abbott. He joins us by phone. Jim, welcome to Insight.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm curious to know what the first words you spoke on air were.
Well, I remember the first words. I don't remember much of what happened afterwards. I wasn't expecting to be the first person on the air. Lee Amundson, whose dream KVMR was, had the microphone, and I expected him to say the words. And just as the transmitter was turned on, he handed the mic to me. I really hadn't prepared anything, wasn't expecting to be on the air, so naturally I said, "Are we on? What do I do?" With, kind of a shocked voice, I'm sure.
And what happened next?
Well, it's really hard to remember the details of next. I'm sure I stumbled on and said a few things about KVMR and then handed the microphone back to Lee, hoping he would fill in the slack, because I really didn't know what to do. I wasn't expecting to be on the radio. That wasn't why I got involved. And it was only from that point on that I really started thinking about being on radio. When we first started, we were only on the air like 4 or 5 hours a day because there were only a few people, and that's all we could cover.
You said you weren't expecting to be on the air. What was your interest in radio at that time?
When I first got involved, I heard about the station and Lee about a year before it went on the air, and it kind of sat around in my mind for a while. I don't know why I found it interesting, but it just set off something in my mind that kept running over and over, and I finally looked him up to see what it was about, and from talking to him, an excitement grew in me about this idea of community radio, which I had never thought about. I'd never had any radio dreams before. I'd never thought of being a broadcaster, the furthest thing from my mind, really. But I was at a time in my life, I was 35, and I was kind of thinking about doing things for my community, and this just seemed like an ideal way to get involved. Not doing radio, but I thought, well, I can help them build things, or I can help them do publicity, promotion, outreach, stuff like that. I just literally didn't think about doing radio at first, though.
We're talking about the 30th anniversary of Nevada City Public Radio Station KVMR. Jim Abbott on the phone was the first person to speak on air. Also with us in our studio is the only person from the founding of KVMR who's still regularly on air there. He's Mikhail Graham.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Welcome.
Hey, Jimma.
Hey.
How are you?
Good to hear you.
Good to hear all of you.
Mikhail, what were you doing when things got started? Was it your plan to be on the radio?
No, kind of like Jimma. We met about a year before with David Osborne and Charles Woods, who were friends of mine, who called me up and said, "We'd like you to come down to the American Victoria Museum and meet this fellow, Lee Amundson. Talk about a community radio station." And so I came down and Jimma was there. We had a brief conversation about it. I said, "Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. It'd be really fun." I grew up with KMPX, KSAN, KZAP, that sort of style of radio. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be cool? We could have our own little radio station. But that was about the extent of it. As Jimma said, a year later, we were on the air. So it wasn't like I had aspirations to be a DJ. It was more like, well, somebody's got to do this. We've got to fill the airways with something.
So, and you play, you do a music show to this day.
Yeah.
And your tastes in music are?
A little eclectic. I was set up to be the on Sundays, which Sundays didn't start till the first Sunday of August. Jim Bauerline was the manager of that time, and I kind of waited for that because I was into the weird music at the time. My first show, Mr. Filter's Unusual Music, showcased the music of Brian Eno's Another Green World. That was my feature showcase for that first show.
Your show nowadays is called The Other Side.
That's true.
Every other Tuesday evening.
It features eclectic, all kinds of music from easy listening lounge, space age bachelor pad music to film music, composers, soundtracks, all kinds of strange. It's really just a 120-minute oral odyssey.
I went to your website to check out your archives, and just at random, I pulled out one, and this was from late 2006. We're going to listen to a clip of you leading into the music and then some of the music, and I'll say that you start out by giving a shout-out to your cat.
Oh. Just had to say hi to my cat, who's sitting next to the radio when I'm not there checking out the show. He's another side cat, Simone. I call him Moni. Moni, love ya. Okay, kids, time to get into the show. We're going to start off with one of my favorite artists in this field, and actually one of my favorite artists, period, Mr. Les Baxter. And a little-known track, but you don't hear that often. We'll hear a couple of things from Les. We're going to start with the High Priest of the Aztecs. Yeah, a little mixture of that with Pyramid of the Sun. I think you might enjoy it. Stay tuned. Lots more exotic sounds to come.
Very cool music.
Thanks. Les is great. He's one of the true great composers of the last century.
Can I ask why you were whispering when you were introducing the music?
Jeffrey, I have a myriad of personalities that live within this body that I inhabit here, and every now and then different ones try to kind of take over the microphone. So at that point, I think I just got kind of quiet and wanted to just sort of get the point across that it's intimate radio.
And is Moni still around?
Moni's still around. Just brought him in this morning. He was outside for the evening. He likes to go out. Had to deburr him, of course, because he's a black cat and loves to get burrs in his fur. But yeah, Moni's a regular listener to The Other Side, a big contributor.
That's Mikhail Graham of KVMR. He's been there since the beginning. He's still on air. Also in our studio is David Levin, who's the general manager of KVMR. David, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How typical is Mikhail of what you hear on KVMR?
I'm afraid to say it's pretty typical. But again, I mean, that's why radio is truly a theater of the mind. We have an alternative station that has meant a lot to a lot of people, but we also have a pretty serious side of KVMR. And obviously, if you take a look around us and the fires that we have here in this state, we're covering it 24/7. We're the official emergency station of Nevada County. So when things are important and they need to be kicked in, we have an emergency response team. So you'll hear Mikhail, but, you know, this guy who is sitting on the other side of me here, he can get pretty serious when he has to. Mm.
On our webpage, campradio.org/insight, we have a few photographs, archive photographs from the early days of KVMR. Now, one of them, the guy who's sitting, this is in the bottom right, who's sitting at the turntable, is a certain Mikhail Graham.
Notice the sweater I'm wearing because we didn't have much heat in the little shack that we were broadcast, our radio shack that we were broadcasting from.
That's a real old style looking radio microphone. It looks
RCA.
Good. Yes.
Eldon Wood, our chief engineer at the time, who was the glue that held the station together, made sure we had good sounding mics, great sounding gear.
You've dropped the mustache.
Thankfully, yes.
And Jimma, there's also a photograph of you. It's the one in the middle. Do you know when, maybe you don't even know what photograph we're talking about, but it's a black
one. I saw it in an email. That actually was taken after we moved down the hill into what was then the American Victorian Museum, which was a great move from us, increasing power from 10 watts to 1,000 watts, and so your neighbors could hear you, but also being on view to passers-by. When you're up on the hill, you're really pretty anonymous. You know, it was rare that you saw anyone else.
You also couldn't get up the hill many times, or you got stuck on the hill doing 10 or 12 hours of programming because it was snowed in.
Right? Both of those. And sometimes you had to walk the last quarter mile because of snow.
Well, Jimmy, you said that you did not intend to be on the air, and it was just by chance that you said the first words in KVMR. But in this photograph at the new facility, you're obviously speaking on air. Did you do a lot on air after the founding?
I did. I started right away. I started doing regular programming, morning programming, and did the first children's programming called Half a Children's Hour. And then pretty much throughout my time with KVMR, 17, 18 years, I did pretty consistently two or three shows a week during that time for all of that time. It was fairly obsessive behavior for me.
The other picture on our webpage is, well, I hate to say it, but it looks like the Unabomber shack. But
that's the famous shack.
It's the original radio shack, yes.
This was where you broadcasted?
Yes, this is where we those first words were uttered, and many of us would get snowed in, as I mentioned up there, because it's at the literally the top of one of the highest peaks in the area, where there's a forestry tower where you can look out. So you'd get up there in the middle of 5-6 feet of snow, and once you were there, you didn't leave.
Is the shack still around?
Yes, it is, and it still houses some of our transmitting equipment that we beam up there now through microwave. As Jim mentioned, when we moved down to the what's now known as the Miner's Foundry or the American Victorian Museum, which is, by the way, where the KVMR came from, this is where this whole thing changed. We really did upgrade a lot by moving into town.
We're talking about the 30th anniversary of Nevada City Station KVMR. It started broadcasting July 14th, 1978. Most of the big celebrations are this weekend, Friday and Saturday. On the phone, Jim Abbott, who spoke the first words on KVMR, Mikhail Graham, who's been there since the beginning, he still does a show, and David Levin, general manager of the station today. Another clip I'd like to listen to is someone who was on the station until recently, and a pretty familiar voice to many people who listen to KVMR. This is the former news director, Mike Thornton. And what we have here is something a little different. It wasn't his regular newscast. This is when he was reporting late last year from the West Bank.
Israel and the occupied territories is a land of lines, demarcations, a separation wall, and hundreds upon hundreds of checkpoints. On Tuesday, December 4th, we traveled to the West Bank town of Ramallah. We had to make our way to the economic, political, and cultural capital of the West Bank via a circuitous route in order to make our way around the separation wall, which winds for miles and miles through various neighborhoods blocking roads like a gigantic gray snake.
That's former KVMR news director Mike Thornton reporting from the West Bank late last year. David Levin, what happened to Mike? What's he doing now?
Mike is working as a community activist for the Sierra Fund, and it was a challenge for him that he really got excited about and juiced up about. So he decided he wanted to move in that direction and take on a kind of a new occupation, although Mike's always been an activist. So I think for him, it was a natural place to be.
The news business is an expensive business to be in. How does KVMR handle the responsibility for covering the community in a way that you can afford?
Well, it's not without its challenges. We're fortunate enough to get support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the trip that Mike made to the Middle East was funded through CPB monies. And we also have a lot of volunteers who have an extensive background in various areas and who through a community effort and grassroots effort, provide us with a lot of great information and who cover various meetings for us. And they are also, of course, they're checked out very carefully, and their information is put through the news department before it gets on the air.
Also with us on the phone is Arthur Cohen, the first general manager of KVMR. He's currently president of PRPD, which is the Public Radio Program Directors Association. Arthur, welcome to Insight.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
What kind of job was it when you became manager of KVMR back in the late 70s?
Well, it wasn't a job when I first started. I went up to that little shack that I'm looking at on your website right now, and on the first day it was on the air, that was the first I heard about, well, the first time I had contact with the station, had read about it, and went up and volunteered, and I was on the air the next day. They gave me an hour, maybe 3 hours, that is, and told me I had to play an hour of classical music, an hour of jazz, and I got to play whatever I wanted for the next hour. It was lots of fun, but there was no jobs. Everybody got together weekly who was involved with the station and made decisions. But at a certain time, I had learned how to write grants, so I wrote a grant to the California Arts Council to train people on how to run the board and do radio, and became the first paid employee and therefore the general manager. That was how it worked.
Was it a bit like herding cats in those days?
Yeah, probably still is, David.
It still is, yes, Arthur. Good to talk with you. How are you doing?
Good. It was very much like herding cats, but There was a great free form spirit to it all, and especially in the early days, the community of the station was kind of small, but then someone new would show up and everybody would just sort of pitch in and help each other out. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty anarchic in some ways, but in another way, it was just very much a reflection of at least a part of the Nevada County community.
This was your first job in public radio, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And then you went on to work all over the country for some pretty well-known public radio stations. And as I said, when I introduced you, you're now the president of PRPD, which is the Association for Program Directors in Public Radio. So I want to ask you a more general question about how community stations like KVMR in general are doing today, and how do you see their future?
Well, I think they're doing better than they were back in those days. Of course, we didn't know any other stations had existed. I saw an article in a magazine somewhere that there was an organization called the National Federation of Community Broadcasters and wrote to them and realized that we weren't just inventing the idea of community radio. And that's a lot of the case. I mean, it's a very disjointed system in a lot of ways, but people do learn from each other. There are stations like KVMR and actually some of the West Coast stations that are doing relatively well, have their feet under them, and they keep on going, but it's always a bit of a struggle. Overall, I think community radio and radio in general is undergoing a great transformation. We don't know where it's really going to go when it comes to all of the new media that's out there, and I think stations like KVMR and others who are participating in the world, in the web, doing web streams and other things online as well as on the air, have a great opportunity to extend the community reach beyond the limited time of 24 hours a day on air. So, I mean, I think it really varies from station to station how community radio is doing, but there seems to be an endless line of people waiting to get behind the mic.
David Levin, how dependent is KVMR on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting?
About 10% to 12% of our budget. The bulk of our budget comes from memberships and from underwriting.
A lot of smaller public radio stations are more dependent on the CPB than that. Mm-hmm. Why is KVMR in that position?
KVMR is remarkable in that the groundswell of support we get from the community. We have 750 volunteers. 150 of them are broadcasters who are certified through a very extensive broadcast training program. So what happens is, in our community, people have really gotten to rely on KVMR, and it's through its history that reliability that they have, it's a constant companion. They're willing to put their money where their mouth is. And our average gift is higher than the national average. And amazingly, the underwriting support we get for a community our size is remarkable.
I want to make time to listen to one more voice from KVMR, someone who sadly passed away not too long ago. I'm talking about Utah Phillips, who did a show called Loafer's Glory for several years. And this is from in his first year of doing it, I think in 97, it's a show called The Magic of Radio, when he's talking about the history of radio and its importance in society. And here he's imagining the scene of someone listening to radio back in the very early days.
Let me give you a setting for this. Let's say that Mike Malone had immigrated from Ireland, got tired of working in the coal mines over in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, and took a small farm with his family in the western part of the state. It's the dead of winter, mid-1920s. The kids have been out shoveling the snow off of the double doors of the root cellar. You can hear them stamping in the halls as they bring in armloads of wood for the fire. There's dinner, the sound of breathing, the sound of the fire, the sound of the wind outside, and then a high, squeaky sort of a sound. And if you were to look out the window, you'd see on a post, facing into the wind, a wind generator spinning away. And out of the wind generator would come wires that would go through small holes bored in the window frame, down underneath the table, and hooked up to some batteries. And those batteries would be hooked up to the back of an oblong-shaped object called a radio, an Atwater Kent, on top of which was a detachable horn. So, Mike Malone, after dinner, leans over and turns the contraption on. And what should he hear coming out of it? But the voice of John McCormick, the greatest of the Irish tenors, and probably takes his mind back to the green shores of Erin, back to the County Clare. Here's what he heard, recorded in 1920, John McCormick singing The Bard of Armagh.
Only to the strength of...
Wonderful, wonderful. Mikhail Utah Phillips passed away just a couple of months ago. He was an important member of the KVMR family and the Nevada City community.
Very much so. He was a mentor of mine, and I find very few people in this life to be mentors. Somebody that I had the pleasure to work with. We created our, I think I mentioned to you, the Good News Show that we do once a month, still on KVMR, that Utah and I both were very pleased about being able to do. We cornered our program director one night and just said, this has got to happen. We've got to do something about this. And so it happened. But Utah was a scholar, a gentleman. Sitting with him and working on records and shows I produced with him was like going to school. You know, the whole time you're there, you never knew what you were going to learn. It was always something so special, and just an amazing heart, an amazing mind, and I miss him terribly. But at the same time, these moments where we get to hear him is wonderful, really wonderful.
Well, KVMR celebrates its 30th anniversary officially on Monday, but there are all sorts of fun events this weekend, Friday and Saturday, too many to mention right now. But if you go to the KVMR website, kvmr.org, you'll read all about it. There's also a link from our webpage. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us on the phone. Jim Abbott, the first person to speak on air at KVMR, and Arthur Cohen, the first general manager there. And in our studio, Mikhail Graham, who was there at the beginning, and he's still on air doing a music show, and David Levin, the current general manager of KVMR. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Welcome.